Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon, everybody. Hope you're enjoying, the warmer temperatures at the very least, right? Maybe not warm enough for you. I'm in shorts and flip-flops because this is the last time until June, right, that I'll be able to wear shorts and flip-flops. So I get the most out of my summer clothing. So I'm in shorts, flip-flops, and I plan on doing that until it's consistently below 60 degrees, right? We live in Buffalo. We don't live in South Carolina or Georgia or Florida where 60 is freezing cold, right? We live in Buffalo. And in Buffalo, the 60s, I still take that as warm as outside weather, as I want to get on the grill and have an adult beverage while cooking dinner, right? Speaking of adult beverages, I had a few last night while watching that Bills game. It's frustrating, right? And, you know, it's funny. We're talking about the Sabres with David a little bit. And, you know, this is it's different, right? The football is a 17-game schedule. Hockey is an 82-game schedule, soon to be 84. So if you were thinking, man, I can't get enough Sabres hockey, don't worry. I think it's next season, Tanner. It goes up to 84 games, maybe the year after that. But they are going to 84 games in the NHL. But, you know, the Sabres continuing where they left off, right? And the Bills, they hit a rough patch here. There were some things about the game yesterday that I wasn't happy with. You know, offside or not on that first play, that shouldn't kill momentum, right? I mean, if anything, that should make the team ticked off and you get them for three and out. Instead, Atlanta goes right down the field. Now, the Bills capitalize and they also go down the field. It was very interesting. The Bills scored on their first drive of each half and that's it. Really could not get a rhythm going. And I realize there's injuries, right? Dalton Kincaid, who's been a big piece of this offense as a tight end, was not playing yesterday. You had some guys banged up. I'm not sure Josh was the same in the second half after taking that hit that led to the interception at the end of the first half. But here's the thing. They're hitting a bye week. You know, all the media is, the Patriots are in the driver's seat. Well, the Patriots have to play the Bills again, right? So I feel fine about the Bills. They're going to make the playoffs. They've got the team. It's just a rough patch. And teams hit this rough patch, right? I mean, you know, they lost to the Patriots, who are an improving team. The Falcons lost 34-0 to the Panthers. But again, you heard the commentators talk about the offense they have. You know, now if the Bills lose three in a row. I don't know. You saw what Penn State did with James Franklin. Penn State goes from being a top five team playing a night game against Oregon to firing their coach after losing Northwestern. I don't think that's going to happen to the Bills. But it's a perfect time for a bye week, right? Fans are frustrated. the team's injured. This is a perfect time for a bye week, and we'll see them come back out after the bye week and determined. You know, 2 weeks after the bye week, you have the Chiefs at home. That's going to be a huge game. I think this is a game they'll get up for. And maybe that's part of the problem, which, again, should not be the problem with a professional sports team. But maybe they're not getting up for opponents that they're favored 2 touchdowns over. That is an issue. You should go into every game like you're the underdog, right? Kind of like what I say to Sean Ryan. You should campaign as if you're the underdog, you know, and do interviews. But the Bills should go into every game like they're the underdog. And they're not, and that might be part of the issue too. But again, it's a bye week. We're fine. Yes, we still have Sabres hockey. I believe tomorrow night they play Ottawa. And hey, there's 79 games left. I am not giving up on the Sabres at least entertaining me for 79 games, right? I mean, that's just too much of a season, you know, to say it's over. They definitely have things to work on. But anything is possible. So that's that. Like I said, I hope you're having a good Tuesday regardless. Oh, to our Jays fans out there, I have a really good friend who's a Jays fan. And let me tell you, my heart breaks for him. You know, the Jays come back. They tie the game up. They have an amazing defensive play in the outfield early on. This is still all early on in the game. And then Seattle just explodes. And they win 10-3 last night. Taking a 2-0 lead in that series. Mariners looking to go to the World Series for the first time in franchise history. So to our listeners in Southern Ontario, to our listeners in Western New York who are Jays fans, I feel for you, you know, and hopefully you guys can sweep them in Seattle and bring the series back to the Rogers Center. Now, this news breaking this morning, it's going to cost more to heat your home this winter. That is according to National Fuel, who says, brace yourself for higher heating as winter approaches. If the forecast pans out, it could vary widely if warm temperatures cut gas consumption or unusually cold weather leads to more gas use. The average monthly bill for National Fuel customers will rise by an average of about $18 a month compared to last winter. If the forecast holds true, it'll bring the most expensive heating bills in 3 years, with the average residential customer paying $677 to heat their homes from November through March. Again, according to National Fuel, this is up from the average bill of $585 during the 24-25 winter season, when temperatures were about 6% warmer than normal, reducing the amount of gas. Now, you know, every year, I come on here, and when I was on in the morning with Brian and on the morning, you know, producing the morning show for Susan and Brian, they would always make fun of me for how early my wife and I like to turn on the AC. I rush to turn on the AC, right? I like a cooler house. I can bundle. I like to put blankets on. I like to put a hoodie on, you know, in the fall. So we are very quick to turn on that AC. Now, I am talking, since we have a child now, obviously we make sure that his room is comfortable, okay? I'm talking about before child, we were not as quick to turn on the heat. And that goes for me as long as I've had a place where I controlled that. I was never one to quickly jump and turn on the heat because, again, I like the house a little cooler, right? I'm at night. I don't want a hot house at night. I want a cooler house at night so I can put on the blankets and, you know, all that stuff. Like, you know, in the summer, we have the AC and the fan going at times. We're nuts about that. I like to walk in. There's no better feeling in the summer than when it is miserably hot outside and you walk in the door and it's as if you jumped in an ice bath. And you take a nice glass of ice cold water, probably not Erie County water, but nice cold glass of water as you walk in the door. No better feeling, right? In the winter, again, I dress for warmth when I'm outside. So these earlier months, when you're still getting the sun the way we're getting it, and November, and you're still getting 50 at points during the day, like I said, my heat is not going to be turned up too high. I like my house 67, 68, right? Obviously, with in mind that my son's room comes first and he has to be comfortable, that's before anything. But I want to know from you, at 803-0930, *930, are you quicker to turn on the AC or to turn on the heat? 803-0930, *930. Now, this plays into some people because some people just, they go for the fireplace. And like, well, we'll just turn the fireplace on. But all considering, do you jump for the AC first or the heat? And here's where this story comes into play. I love trying to save a buck. Obviously, I want to be comfortable. In the winter for me, again, I'm not talking January, February, where it never gets above 20 degrees, okay? I'm talking early months of winter, November, early December. I think for me and my family, it'll be easier to cut costs by, hey, you know, I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt. I'm wearing sweatpants. I have socks on. At night, I have a big comforter on, right? Like, I can stay warm within my house. In the summer, that's not possible. Like, you have to have the AC on, or your house is going to be uncomfortably hot. And that goes for the early months. Like, I am surprised by the people who will ridicule me for turning the AC on in May, right? But they're the same people who, they have their heat on now. It's October 14th. Like, to me, that sounds just as crazy, if not crazier. Why? Because it dipped down to the 40s last night, you put your heat on? You know, during the day, you have your, you know, you have the blinds up so the sun gets in the house and everything warms up. So for me, it's a no-brainer. Like, if you said, Joe, you either have to give up the air conditioning for the month of May, or you have to give up heat for the month of November, 100 times out of 100, I'll give up heat in November. Like, I can find ways to be warm. In the summer, I can't find ways to cool down except for the artificial cooling that is my air conditioner. Like, a fan, it gets to a point where the fan, it complements the AC, a ceiling fan. I can't just have the ceiling fan. I want to know what you think. 803-0930, *930 gets you on the show. It also gets you on the Volkswagen and Borchardt Park text board. As Karen Merkel said, she is a national fuel spokesperson, a more traditional Western New York winter, which would bring colder temperatures compared to last year, will naturally drive higher usage. The national fuel forecast assumes that temperatures will be average this winter. The reason for the higher price forecast this winter is twofold, reflecting the two components that go into a customer's gas bill: the cost of natural gas and the price national fuel charges to deliver it to homes and businesses. This year, both components are expected to rise. So that is what's going into this. Delivery rates charged by national fuel account for $8 a month of the increase. So the delivery charge is going up $8 a month as well. So it's going to be more expensive to heat your house. You know, we hear all the time, you know, ways to cut this and that. I'm waiting for Kathy Hochul to tell us what temperature we have to keep our house at to save the environment this winter. But for me, I mean, that has nothing to do with it, right? When I look at this, I'm looking at comfort and can I save a dollar? And when it comes to comfort, like I said, AC, as soon as I start sweating in my own home, the AC's on and it's on for the season. Like, I'm not sweating in my home. I remember one time, a few friends of mine and I went to Hornell, New York. I took them to my old street where I lived until 99. And we went to our old neighbor's house and it was so hot in that house. Now, it's like June at this time. June, no air conditioning. Right, the windows are open, no air conditioning, and my buddy was sweating so much he was running out of places to wipe his sweat. He was wiping his sweat on the couch cushions. Like, I can't be that uncomfortable. I'm sorry, I'm cheap, but I'm not that cheap. I will in the summer, I will take comfort over cheapness. What I'm saying is in early winter, I can still be comfortable and not need the heat on for those first few weeks. Again, we're comparing May to November. I'm not going to take this challenge, though, because obviously I have to think about my son. I'm talking about if it's just Joe Beamer. He said, let's do the Joe Beamer challenge. Joe, you're going to live in this house for the month of November, but you can't turn on the heat. And that might be a little ridiculous, but I would leave the heat at like 65, I guess is the argument I'm making. Like, I don't run to turn the heat on the minute it gets cold outside. I do run to put the AC on the minute it gets hot outside. 803-0930, star 930. John is in Buffalo. John, thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Doing all right, John. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree with you 100%. I would run to turn the AC on, but I will go as long as I can to turn the heat on.
Exactly. I mean, it's so easy, especially those first few cold weeks. It's so easy to keep warm without, you know, wasting the gas.
I agree, and it gets better. My kids are older than yours. They are wearing hoodies all the time anyways. They don't need the heat on.
That's right. That's right. The fashion statement helps you save a few bucks.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, John, do you find, like, when you start to say, okay, it's time to turn the heat up, what, end of November, mid-December?
Mid-December.
Yeah, I would agree with that. When's the earliest you've turned your AC on?
I've had it on in April before.
Exactly.
On hot days.
Exactly. I'm sorry, like I said, I'm cheap. I could never be so cheap where I'm sweating in my own home. That to me is then what's the point of even having it?
I agree with you. I grew up as a kid, we didn't have AC at all. One of the first things I did is put it in my house.
Oh, yeah, John, so when we lived in Hornell before we moved to Buffalo, we only had window units, right? In my bedroom, it was just a window fan. So, yeah, I know what it's like to wake up at 3 in the morning and, you know, wake up in a pool of your own sweat. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not, I would rather have to put an extra layer under my hoodie than have to wipe my sweat all over the couch cushions.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, John. I'm glad someone out there who doesn't think I'm crazy when I turn the AC on in April. Thank you, John. John in Buffalo, 803-0930, star 930. And that's right, everyone's wearing hoodies. I see people wearing hoodies in the middle of July. If you're wearing a hoodie outside in July, you can wear a hoodie around your house when it first gets cold out. Again, John said it perfectly. He grew up without an AC, right? The big thing for him was getting a house with air conditioning. This is all your decision to make. I'm asking if you had to cut one, right? I'm asking, what do you jump to first? In your experience, are you quicker to jump to the AC or the heat? And if you had to pick one, the scenario I gave you, could you go May without AC or November without heat? And I'm not saying completely without heat because that's ridiculous, but, you know, I set your thermostat at 65. Okay? What month could you go without it? 803-0930, star 930, Beamer here on News Radio 930, WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about About How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what we're living in, let me tell ya. And it's a world that man can eat at all, when things are big that should be small. Who can tell what magic spells we'll be doing for us? And I'm giving up my life.
We are here. Only to be told. Joe Beamer and News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope the day is going better than the Bills game did yesterday. 803-0930, star 930, you want to get on the show. Or if you want to text the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, we'd love to hear from you, the listeners. You can also reach out on X at the Joe Beamer. Follow me on Facebook, Joe Beamer. And yes, for the libs out there, I am on Blue Sky. I don't think there should be echo chambers. I've said this numerous times. So if you are a liberal-leaning person, maybe you don't like X, you think it's too right-leaning, but you're like, hey, you know, I don't agree with Joe Beamer, but I listen to his show. Well, you can follow me at the Joe Beamer over there on the Blue Sky, on the Threads. I'm everywhere. I demolish echo chambers. I want everyone to talk, right? Speaking of everyone talking, Pete Buttigieg, he was the transportation secretary under President Joe Biden. He was talking with the New York Times in their opinion section. You know, I find with the New York Times on their front page. Now, I am a New York Times subscriber because I get it for $1 a week, and it does help me get content for this very program. So I don't get it because I agree with the talking points. I get it because it's stuff I want to bring to you, the listeners. And let me tell you, so the New York Times, you go to the opinions, it's, I mean, it is, Trump is awful, you know, Trump this, Trump that, we have to end Trumpism. Well, Pete Buttigieg did an interview with David Leinhardt, and he was talking about a world. This is the quote. Sooner or later, one day, Donald Trump will not be active in American politics. And the sooner we spend our energy thinking about what we do next, I actually think the sooner that day will come, is what Pete Buttigieg said in this interview. So this goes on and on, and I am not going to bore you with the quotes, but I will give you the details. It's another example of the American Democrats giving this dark image of what America is under Donald Trump. Now, this is the same tactic, the same talking points they used before the election in November of 24, right? Democracy's on the line. How many times did we hear? Oprah told us that if Donald Trump wins, it might be the last election she is able to vote in, that we are able to vote in. Remember that? This lie that there is a threat to democracy under Donald Trump, coming from the party who wouldn't even let the members of their party pick their candidate. Yet they're going to preach to you about democracy. In this Buttigieg interview goes on and on, where, you know, he's talking about a post-Trump world. And what, you know, what the country is like, a post-Trump America, when Trump is no longer in power. And he talks about, he goes in depth here. He talks about AI a lot. He talks about the environment, obviously. But it's just another example of Democrats around the country telling us how bad the country is. And I have to say, I don't feel that. And I have a feeling a lot of people in this audience don't feel that. Like, I feel yesterday was a momentous day for the world, right? And President Trump had a lot to do with that. Hostages freed. a peace deal signed. We hope we can get to a few of the phases. We hope we can get to all the phases. But further than the last administration was able to do, right? I mean, you have far left activists protesting ICE. Like, to me, that's the imagery I'm thinking of when you talk about, you know, what has America become? I mean, the fact that people who have, you know, ICE officers aren't safe, and you have judges that want barricades taken down so the rioters and the protesters can get closer to the facility. Like, that to me is a problem. That to me is not America, right? This fighting for the illegal immigrant over the citizen. And again, I want a country where, yes, all are welcome, but all are welcome following the rules. All are welcome coming in here the right way, so we know who the hell's in the country. And the fact that we have a major party in America that many of their members don't believe there need to be borders. Many of their members feel if you can just walk in here and get the benefits of being an American. Well, that's not a strategy for success. You know, I say this quite often, and it's what I think of when I hear people say that we should just grant amnesty to people who have illegally entered this country. I think back to 9/11, and you know, when you don't know who's in the country, there could be people who hate this country, currently in the country, recruiting, planning. Instead, we have elected officials and activist judges who are making rulings, attempting to make policy against the ICE agents who are doing their job for the president, who is doing exactly what he said he was going to do when he was elected. And you have a party on the other side with no leader, by the way. There is no leader of the Democrat Party right now. You have a party that is trying to sell you the same story it failed to sell you November of 24, less than a year ago. And here we go again, as we head into national elections. Does anyone out there who voted last year not allowed to vote in their national election this year? Does anyone out there actually feel that democracy has been taken away from them? If you are out in the audience right now and you feel like we are less of a democracy today than we were on November of 24, call in 803-0930, star 930. Why, and again, I'm not one to give advice to the Democratic Party, but why continue down this path and trying to sell this dark story of how awful America is and how rights are being taken away from? That's not happening. I mean, you are full of you know what, and you're continuing to sell this to the people. And again, you're going to see it on Saturday. You have people who are buying every word of this BS. And their life is just about how much they can't stand Trump or MAGA people. That's how you have people who take it, you know, take this information and get radicalized. And, you know, they're told that democracy is being taken away from them. And if you watch the MSNBCs, the CNNs, if you listen to certain podcasts, you actually believe that rights have been taken away from American citizens. And that's just not happening. Like, I had, and this, again, I am very optimistic. I always believe that cooler, you know, that people will have this awakening. I thought Democrats would actually try to tackle real problems after losing in November. Like, I really thought the talking points would change. I thought they would realize that people aren't buying this story, and they would, you know, go back to, again, probably things I disagree with, but actual things that I can say, oh, okay, I understand you have a problem with that. We just have a fundamental disagreement. But no, they're doubling down on this democracy line. They're doubling down on this is a dark period in American history. And again, Americans just aren't buying it. A majority of Americans still believe if you're here illegally, you don't belong, you know, that you should be deported. You have to follow the rules. And, you know, now you have Pete Buttigieg talking to the New York Times about what to do post-Trump. And again, I mean, there's over 3 years left in this term. But post-Trump, I mean, he's talking as if everyone who voted for Trump now sees it as a mistake instead of, you know, again, finding compromises. You don't hear that once out of any elected or formerly elected Democrat. You don't hear anything about finding a compromise and finding places where we can agree and, you know, progress the country and move forward. It's none of that. It's blocking Trump doing this. If you see someone in his administration, get in their face, right? It's, you know, oh, your neighbor and their Trump flag. 803-0930, *930. I would love to hear an American call in and tell me that you feel democracy is being taken away and give me examples of how democracy has been taken away. Buttigieg says in here, he goes, what I think Trump and Trumpism have accused Democrats of is preaching a message that the country is fundamentally evil because of these failures. But that's how people are taking your message, Pete. That's how people are taking the things that you are saying. And that is the picture that many prominent Democrats are saying. They're talking as if the America you know and love is no longer here. And again, I don't know how anyone, even if you can't stand Donald Trump, can say that. Because he's deporting illegals? He still hasn't deported as many illegals as Barack Obama did. But again, it was okay when Obama did it because Obama had a D next to his name. That's the game we're going to play. We're going to continue to play this game that we just ignore. Ignore that. I mean, the same people, right? The Occupy Wall Street people, those are the people that are now going to No Kings protests. They had no problem with deportations under Obama. This became a problem because Trump said it. And again, I go back to, if Trump says it, the Democrat Party has to go 180. And that's why the Democrat Party finds themselves at under 20% approval with no leader. The party does not have a true leader. And why Donald Trump won the popular vote in November of 2024. Because again, you don't have a message. Go on any Democrat's social media who's not John Fetterman. Go to the county executive. I know we pick on the county executive a lot, but he's very vocal. Go to the county executive's page. Go to Jeremy Zellner's page. Is there anything on those pages? And they're local Democrats. They should be talking about Erie County. They should be talking about how not to rig a primary. And just to say, you know, do exactly what we didn't do in the Buffalo primary. Anyway, but it's not stances on this, and that. It's literally Trump said this, so it's awful. Gavin Newsom's Twitter account is just out of there right now. I mean, seriously, it's all over the place. But look at what he's saying. It's literally if Trump says one thing, they come out full force 180. And that is just no way for any political party. And by the way, I know people out there say, Joe, you're just being a political hack. If the Republicans were doing that, let's let's go to a universe where Kamala Harris is the president. And Republicans didn't have, you know, policies. They literally just cried against everything Kamala Harris stood for 180. Now, again, I don't agree with much of Kamala Harris, but I'm sure there's some things you just wouldn't waste your time, you know, arguing or getting upset about. And with Democrats, it's everything. And again, it's something that we used to never disagree on. Illegal immigration never used to be a debate topic. You know what I mean? Like, that was the unanimous vote, except for, you know, two or three people in Congress. There was a time where this was we could get together, hold hands, and say, yeah, of course, we need a secure border. And we don't have that now. We have, if Trump says it, Democrats literally go 180. Let's go to Dave in Cheektowaga. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Barry Weiss made it to CBS.
That's right. She
did you hear that?
They bought the Federalist and they made her they put her in charge at CBS.
Oh, you're up. Okay.
They put her in charge over at CBS News, and you know, CBS needs a lot of work. I mean, you have an anchor on your
Joe on.
Sorry, Dave. You have an anchor on your evening news who on election night was crying to Stephen Colbert about the election. Yeah. I by the way, thank you, Dave. Thanks for the call. I do feel that a lot of the networks could take a page out of that book. And by the way, I'm not saying that every newsroom needs to be run by a MAGA conservative. I don't believe Barry Weiss is a MAGA conservative. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you need to have a newsroom that is fair and, again, pushes back on both parties. When you have, you know, George Stephanopoulos just cutting a commercial break as he's interviewing the vice president for the second time in less than a year, like, that's a problem. I also think it's not a good look, and it would be both ways. George Stephanopoulos should be, you know, Steve Roberts, right? I mean, Steve Roberts has he leans to the left, but that's his job. He's a political analyst. If George Stephanopoulos, he would be a great political analyst. The guy worked on the Clinton campaign. How is he the face of your political coverage? Like, unless you just want to say, hey, yeah, we lean one way. I don't understand how you say you're independent, but George Stephanopoulos is, you know, he's the face of the, he was with the Clinton campaign. We've seen the videos. Yeah, he has a liberal bent. And by the way, I can speak from experience. You can lean one way, but then when you're doing particular political shows, political interview shows, be fair to both sides. Again, you can think what you want of me. I think on Hardline, I'm pretty fair, and I give Republicans and Democrats a fair shot. That's all I'm asking of George Stephanopoulos. I'm speaking from experience. Yeah, you can lean one way. I mean, naturally, most people are going to have their political leanings. But if you're going to have a show like This Week on ABC, you know, maybe don't show your bias in that show unless you're a political analyst. Like, if you listen to me on Hardline, I try not to give a bias on Hardline. I give everyone an opportunity. And I'd like to see that from more networks. I think CBS CBS, let's be honest, again, you had an anchor crying on the couch with Colbert about the election. I don't think that's a good look for the face of your evening news program. So I think it's a positive, and I think the other networks, again, I'm not saying that I want to see the networks go full MAGA, full right. No, I just want journalism, and if J.D. Vance needs to be pressed on something, of course. But I also want, if Kamala Harris has to be pressed on something, I want the same back and forth. I want the same standards held, no matter the party of the person that you're interviewing. And I just think when you're talking with the networks and they have a member of the current administration on, I think it's very hostile from the start in most of these situations. And you don't see that when it's someone from an administration on the other side. All I'm saying is, if you want to be hostile, fine. But to both, right? To both candidates, or to both, you know, politicians. If Bernie Sanders says something that's factually untrue, call it out. And the same with, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan says something that's out of bounds, call it out. But let's do it evenly and fairly, and let's not pick a side on the networks. Again, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they have their political lean, and it works. It works for Fox News. MSNBC, again, you're never going to hear me get on here and be critical that Rachel Maddow is far to the left. Well, that's her shtick. That's her show. She's a liberal political pundit, right? That'd be like me sitting here and going, can you believe how conservative Jesse Waters is? Well, that's what he does. Of course, he's an opinion host. But if you're going to be on the evening news programs, or if you're going to, you know, do particular news on a network, I think there's a different standard. 803-0930, star 930, back after this. Yes, hour number two. However you're listening to us on the AM dial, on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, on demand on the Odyssey app, WBEN.com, or wherever you get podcasts. We are so thankful to have you here. You know, during the break, Tanner and I were talking about these foodies on YouTube. I've talked about them before. They'll sit usually in their car and just eat food. And, you know, they go to some of the popular places around the nation. And I was thinking about this because someone posted it. When you're traveling, right, when you're going on a road trip, you know, through other states, is there like a place you have to go to? Like, it's a must when you're out of New York State. If it's a place that has a blank, you have to stop and go, right? Krispy Kreme, for a lot of people, if they go to Erie, is on that list, right? I love, and maybe this is because I go there all the time when, you know, I go down to Virginia a lot during the fall, but Sheetz gas stations, the best, I think, in the nation. No offense, we have some great local places here, but when you're on the road and you see that there's a Sheetz at the exit, and if you have to go to the bathroom, you want to go to a Sheetz, it's the cleanest. If you're hungry, they've got a huge kitchen. Great selection, right? Like, I don't think anything beats a Sheetz. Now, another place that has now popped up on 79 outside of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania is Raising Cane's, one of the faster-growing restaurant chains. And there's one, I believe it's in Bridgeport, in Pennsylvania. Now, I was telling Tanner this, you know, good thing there's not a Raising Cane's in Western New York, because I would have had a lot more weight to lose with Awaken if there had been a Raising Cane's here. But it's one of those places that everyone's talking about, and you see it on, you know, social media. Influencers are always posting about it. So it's one of those things that you always have to go and see, you know, you have to try once. I've been three times over the last like 4 years. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think it's hyped up very well. But maybe this will go nowhere. It's not, I didn't plan it, but we were just talking during the break. When you're out of New York, when you're driving on a road trip, maybe you drive to Myrtle Beach. Maybe you drive, you do the drive I do. You're probably not going to Blacksburg, but you're going somewhere around there. Do you have a must stop place? If the town has blank, you have to stop there. Now, if it was John Anthony here, if the town had an amusement park, John would say he would have to get off the road and go to the amusement park. But 803-0930, star 930. Let's see if we can get something going on this. Because for me, again, I pass a ton of Sheetz. I mean, there's a Sheetz in Blacksburg. You know, once you get to Erie, there's a Sheetz in every small town, big town, everything along Route 79. There's Sheetz all over the place. Now, if you go a little more to the east, there's the Wawa. I don't think Wawa is as good as Sheetz. Now, we're not going to have that debate on a radio show in Buffalo where we don't have either. But I would say for me, Raising Cane's was that one, but I don't have to, right? Again, when I'm on a road trip, there's a 100% chance that I will stop at a Sheetz sometime on that trip, right? And before, you know, before we had Chick-fil-A, that was on that list too. I love Krispy Kreme, but we can't stop at Krispy Kreme every time we go through Erie. My gosh, we would have a ton of Krispy Kreme. What is that place for you? 803-0930, star 930. Bucky's is getting already a ton of votes on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Now, I have yet to be to Bucky's. There is one. There is one now in Virginia, but not along my my route. There is one in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where James Madison is. I would love to check out a Bucky's. Another thing that Tanner and I always talk about is the Sir Yacht account, and he spent 24 hours at a Bucky's. That looks like something that I would love to check out. But Bucky's has a few votes on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Also, Sheetz has great subs, especially on the pretzel roll. Ah, yes. Let me tell you, if we're staying at a hotel and there's a Sheetz near the hotel, there's a good chance that I'll get a late night snack, and it will usually be either their chicken sub or or one of their delicious subs. Let's go to Rick on a cell. Rick, what's that place
Joe,
for you?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, you got to check out a Bucky's.
Now,
it's absolutely crazy. 50, 60 gas pumps, 500, 600 people inside the place. It's a place worth stopping.
So is it like a grocery store and a gas station? What when I walk into a Bucky's, Rick, what am I bombarded with?
It's a Wegmans Sheetz and a Five and Dime all wrapped into one.
What's the best food at a Bucky's, Rick?
They serve pulled pork sandwiches. They have six guys in there making them, and they serve 2,500 a day, I think the guy told me.
Wow. Now, is this one of those places it's always open because it's, you know, because of the gas pumps? Is there, can I always get something at a Bucky's?
I believe it is. And when you go, leaving there, it's like leaving an event. I mean, the traffic is crazy. It moves along real good. No trucks allowed, no tractor trailers allowed there. And it's just the amount of people. I went for the first time this summer. Just happened to be going by one and said, hey, we got to check this out. And it kind of blew me away.
Now, and you said there's a ton of people inside as well. It's not just all the gas pumps. When you walk inside, there's a crowd of people.
Oh, yeah. When you walk inside, it's a very, it's kind of, you think it's smaller than what it is. But when you walk in, it's amazing how many people. And you can buy, like I said, anything from a T-shirt to beef jerky, every jerky known to mankind, they have it.
Oh my gosh, I gotta make a reason to go to Harrisonburg just to stop at that Bucky's, because I believe that's the closest Bucky's to us.
I can't remember if it was like Richmond, Kentucky, something like that. Here's the deal: make a weekend trip to the Ark experience. And the Bucky's is right there. You can hit them both at one shot.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds, Rick, you've sold me on Bucky's. I'm going to have to check it out. Rick on a cell. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930. Someone says Bucky's serves beef brisket. Another one. Now, here's one. I just want to make sure it's not what the caller's saying. Because on the text board, let's go to Ken in Silver Creek, and then I'll read you what they said on the text board. Because one just popped up on the text board that I 1,000% agree with. And there's one in Washington, Pennsylvania, but we'll get to that. Ken, what's your must stop place?
Hey Beamer, hey, I don't travel around too much. When I do, if I see a pizza business that has offers all the varieties of slices, like you know, a whole counter full of, you pick what ingredients you want, and it's ready to go. I know there's more than one, but there seems to be a bunch in Ontario, Toronto.
Yeah, like where you watch them put the toppings on and throw it in the oven?
Oh, I just love that. Yeah, I stop on purpose because I got to have that.
And it doesn't depend where you are. You'll try any region's pizza as long as it's the setup that you're talking about.
Yeah, it gives you something to talk about, a road trip.
Yeah. If you're standing there at the counter and they got the pizza, what are you having them throw on it?
Usually just I'd say onion and ham and stuff like that, you know, just fresher ingredients, vegetables.
Yeah.
The more the better.
Yeah, that would be good. I'll tell you, instead of ham, though, I used to love, when I worked at Lenovo, I would get onion bacon pizzas and dip it in blue cheese. Mm.
Yeah, I've had those. Yeah, real good.
So good, so good. Well, thank you, Ken. Ken in Silver Creek. Yeah, those kind of places, and he's right. They are very popular in Canada, but I believe there's one, Tanner, tell me if I'm wrong, I believe there's one right down the street where it's one of those places you walk up, it's kind of like a Chipotle for pizza, and, you know, they have the toppings, and they get it all ready, and they throw it in the in one of those quick ovens, and boom, boom, 10 minutes, you got a pizza. 803-0930, star 930. I'll tell you this. On the text board, someone says Waffle House. 100%. 100%. If I'm going somewhere, now again, there's one in Washington, Pennsylvania. My dad and I, when we first had Tech season tickets, we used to stop there every time on the way down. We would stop there for dinner. I love Waffle House. Waffle House was like the first food place we took my son to. We were in Florida, and he really liked grits. That was like when he was one. But yeah, Waffle House is a must. It's a simple menu. I mean, when we were in Nashville for a bachelorette party, I think we went to Waffle House twice in just the weekend. And Waffle Houses have the jukebox. And you know, if you throw a jukebox that I can control from my cell phone, I mean, that's going to sell me. That's going to sell me anywhere. Another one, Permane Brothers in Pittsburgh, Slimans in Cleveland. And the only reason I know Slimans from Cleveland is because Mark Normand talked about having a sandwich there when he was on Good Day or Good Morning Cleveland, when he had that appearance that went viral, and he went to Slimans. That was the whole thing, joke he was making. But I've never been to Slimans. I have been to Permane Brothers a few times. They're in Pittsburgh, and they're throughout West Virginia as well. Let's go to John in Holland. Hey, John.
Joey, I got to tell you, if it's a must-stop place, if I see a place that's selling hot dogs and they advertise that they got a Coney Island sauce or a Detroit-style sauce like our Louis has, I got to try it out, even if it's not a Salins or a Wardinsky's. But that is not what I actually called.
Well, that's fine. I love that to the list. I didn't even think hot dogs. But yeah, what did you call in for, John?
Well, you know, in your last segment, you were talking about the inability for people to kind of come together in the middle. And, you know, when you ask, do we feel like democracy is gone? I think I'm talking like an American. Yeah, I do. I feel like it's been very divisive over the last 30 plus years. We have told this entire populace, get on one side or get on the other. So of course you have the people that are extreme MAGAs. And then your counter to that is the extreme leftists, right? The whatever the Antifa crowd type might be. There is nothing in the middle anymore. We lost that. As soon as we started telling people you got to be on the side of what's right, and they just started dictating what they believe to be right, you lost any ability to have a conversation down the middle.
It feels like we fell for the trap that the people in power put out, because people in power would love if there's no middle. And unfortunately, a lot of people bought into that.
Yeah, and it's disappointing. And here's another great example of this coming Saturday. It's the same group of people, like you said, that have did the, you know, the previous, I guess they're what, protests, but we know what they turned into. But like they're doing it for the same reasons. It's just under a different guise now. Right. So we're just continuing to bait people. It's like clickbaiting. Right. It's the people that go on Facebook and make an annoying post just to get reacts. It's almost like that's what our media is doing and what our politicians have done. And I think both sides are guilty of it. The second that Kamala Harris says the sky is blue, you've got someone that's extremely on the right that'll say, no, it's not. It's red. Just for the sake of the argument, it almost feels like. And it's whoever's got the bigger voice recently that seems to be the one that people gravitate towards. You cut the ability to have a conversation out the second we told people, you know, this is a side for justice. And when two sides are saying the exact same thing, what are the American people supposed to do?
Yeah, no, and you're right. The need to argue seems to be there in politics as well, where we can't compromise or we can't admit, yeah, you know what, I don't agree with you politically, but you got this one right. Like, that takes so much to say for some people. And yeah, I mean, it leads to a place where we don't want to talk to our neighbor because, God forbid, they put the wrong sign out election time.
Yeah, exactly. They're celebrating who they're planning on voting for, and you've now decided that you're not going to hand Halloween candy to their kid because of it. And it's like, you know, to the effect of we needed border reform. And that was never something that was disagreed upon on either side. It was always, yes, we need to figure out this illegal immigration issue. It was the second that, in my personal opinion, this is tinfoil hat stuff, that we started seeing a lower population and birth rate in the United States, that all of a sudden we started being a little bit more lax on the folks that were here, not in traditional methods, by allowing them, you know, driver's licenses, ID cards, things like that. And it's, if it doesn't sound like anything more than buying a vote, and both sides are placating to the same group of people, they're just doing it with different, you know, just by different avenues. But that never was a point for people to disagree on. We need money for education. We need to work on illegal immigration. Now all of a sudden it's, you either are a demon because you think that everybody that's not from here shouldn't be allowed to be here, or, you know, the other side looks at you as, well, you're just going to give to everybody. Why aren't we taking care of our own? It's just, you can't win. You can't win without a compromise. And I don't know. It's scary. It's scary to see that, because I know you got a little one. Same with me. How do I explain to them that you can have an opinion that's not on both, on either side? You can be down the middle.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I've always said, unless you're following talking points, there's no way you can 100% agree with any side. Like, I'm a registered Republican, but there's stuff within the Republican Party I don't agree with. I mean, it's crazy to think that 50% of the country is going to think one way and 50% the other way. There's definitely some things that, yeah, you know what, I don't take it to the ballot box with me, but I'm not in line with the party I'm registered under. And I think, again, some people are just saying, no, I have to go full, like you said, full one party, and I can't be in the middle. That's not how we do it anymore. And I think that's dangerous, and that's not our politics. If there's no middle, no compromise, then we're just always going to be fighting, and that gets exhausting.
It does. And, you know, the scary part about it, what's frightening about this, is the last real time something like that happened, it was called the Patriot Act. Both sides came together and they sold this to the American population after 9/11, that this was going to keep us entirely safe. Nothing ever was going to be better than this to keep the American population safe from terrorists. And what did we wind up learning in the last, 25 plus years, is that that act has actually been used against the American population, not necessarily just for the benefit of getting terrorists out of cities. I mean, come on, we had the Lackawanna Six, right? That's a great example. But there's more and more evidence that they just turned and used this thing against the American people. Like, the last time the two parties really saw eye to eye on something, they used it right against 250 million Americans. So my question is, what's the next big one?
Yeah, it's, in my opinion, never right, no matter if it's on the right or on the left, to give the government complete control to do anything. I've always been against bigger government. I don't care if the Republicans or Democrats want it. Bigger government never works out well for the citizens.
No, and there's no real watchdog for it either, right? Because either side's watchdog isn't going to be good enough for the other side to agree with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you're right, John. I mean, again, I think, you know, I think we need to break out of the two-party system to begin with. I think introducing other parties and being like, you know, other countries where they have four or five parties, I think that's a start. But we have definitely lost the ability to compromise. And now when you compromise, I mean, look at the shutdown. Chuck Schumer is going the way of the shutdown because when he compromised 6 months ago, his party turned on him and now he's going to get primaried. So we've lost the ability to compromise in Washington, and it's spreading out to all of us.
And you know what? It almost had to happen to Schumer. He went against what his party wanted him to do, and everybody shunned him. And yep, exactly. Here comes a midterm year, and he's got to look good to his base. And you know, New York State's starting to get pretty purple recently, as far as I recall. So you know, he's got to do what he can to make sure that he sticks to his battleground, even though you know they're blaming it, saying it's one side versus the other. Still, at the end of the day, we're not paying for federal services. I think we should take the time to cut out the fat.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, John, always appreciate the call. John in Holland, 803-0930, *930. A few more on the list. If you're just joining us, yes, we were talking about the Democrat talking points. What kicked this all off was Democrat talking points, and you know, continuing to go with the same message as the November election in 24. in which they lost, and we're continuing with this lie that democracy is on the line and all that. And, you know, John's point of we don't compromise, we told people for years that you have to pick a side, and the how small the middle is getting, there's less and less independence. Like, again, I think the two-party system is bogus. I think we should have more political parties that are have some kind of relevance. But the problem is the two major political parties won't let that happen. So, yeah, if you want to comment on that, 803-0930, star 930. Also, I was asking you, when you go on a road trip, when you're out of town, right, when you're going around state lines, if a town has a blank, you have to stop there. And so far, we have Buc-ee's, and Rick called in and made a great, and not only Rick, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board blew up with Buc-ee's. I mentioned Sheetz. I think Sheetz is great. Every time we head down to Tech, I spend a lot of my fall in a Sheetz gas station, right? But as soon as I said that, Buc-ee's was all over the text board. So we have that. Waffle House. I think Waffle House is definitely. I love Waffle House. And by the way, the older the Waffle House, the better. Like when I say Waffle House, I want the old small shack where the W is half falling off. You know, they have these newer Waffle Houses now. They're in a nice, but no. When I say Waffle, it's like when I say Hardee's. When I say Waffle House, when I say Hardee's, I want a building that's been sitting there since the 70s and it looks like it might collapse. That's a Waffle House. That's a Hardee's. So those are on the list. 803-0930, star 930. We also have pizza places that let you put your own, you know, do the toppings at the counter. You know what I'm talking about? There's one down the street. That was on there where you tell them the toppings, they put it on in front of you, and then they throw it in the oven. And what would you say? 803-0930, star 930. We're getting some great suggestions on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I'll read those to you and hopefully hear from you after the break on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Kiss me out of the bearded barley nightly beside the green, green grass. Swing, swing, swing the spinning step. You wear those shoes and I will wear that dress. Oh, kiss me.
Remember
beneath the milky twilight.
Lainey Boggs. Walking down the stairs, she lost the glasses, let down her hair, and she's no longer a nerd. And she goes to the dance with Freddie Prinze. Well, no, she doesn't end up going to the dance with Freddie Prinze Jr. That's right. Great movie, by the way. She's All That. Remember that one? This is this song reached where it did in the charts. I was just, Tanner and I were just talking about this during the break. I'm sure he wasn't bored at all with this discussion. That song entered the charts 91 in November of 98. This frickin' movie comes out. It re-enters the charts at 90 in February of 99. In May of 99, it reaches number two. But the movie, She's All That, it was parodied in the movie Not Another Teen Movie, which, Tanner, Not Another Teen Movie, you definitely have to check out. It parodies 90s rom-coms. But the whole point was, you know, Lainey Boggs is this art nerd, and she kind of keeps to herself, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is dared to get her to go to the dance with him. I forgot why this all happened, but then, you know, Freddie Prinze's sister takes her upstairs. The next thing you know, Kiss Me by Sixpence on the Richer comes on. She's walking down the stairs, no glasses, her hair's down. Oh my gosh. Now she's not an art nerd anymore. Now she's a cool kid and she's running for, what was she running for? Homecoming Queen? Anyway, that's every 90s rom-com movie that took place in high school. It was always around the homecoming dance and I want to be the homecoming king and queen. It's like, I don't know. I didn't go to high school until the mid-2000s. But I don't remember this significance being put on who got the frickin' homecoming king or queen that seemed to be in every Disney, live-action Disney Channel movie and 90s rom-com seemed to be the entire point of these dances was, oh my gosh, who they're going to give a big speech at the end of the, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't involved enough in school. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. We're talking about when you're out of town, when you're leaving Western New York, if a town has a what, you have to stop and go to this place, right? My example was Sheetz. It's a bad example because I go to several Sheetz on my trips, especially on my trips down to Virginia. But it's, you know, they got everything. They got gas. They got the cleanest bathrooms. They have food, right? You can order on the app. I'm doing a spot for Sheetz. You can order on the app. They have everything. It's a one stop. And when I'm traveling, ladies and gentlemen, I want a one stop. We stop when you have to go to the bathroom and we get gas at that stop. We load up on snacks or whatever, and we're back on the road. We don't need to stop 4 or 5 times a day driving, right? Get everything done. Your bladder or your having to go to the bathroom dictates when we stop and when we get everything. Or, you know, the car runs out of gas, obviously. So on this list, we have Buc-ee's, and Buc-ee's is very popular on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Buc-ee's, we have Waffle House, which I completely agree with. We have Permane Brothers, also agree with. Slimans in Cleveland, again, I've never been to Slimans. I have heard of it, though, because Mark Norman mentioned it on a viral video. Logan Roadhouse, this is from someone who travels to Pennsylvania, Ohio, Chicago, or Florida. And they say the most exciting part of the trip is Logan Roadhouse. Oh, Bojangles, definitely. Especially if you're going to a town that, you know, going to a football game in a town that has a Bojangles, the tailgate pack from Bojangles, 100%. Hardee's, and Hardee's, like I said, is right in that category with Waffle House. I'll go to any Hardee's or Waffle House, but I'm telling you, when it's a Hardee's or Waffle House that looks like the building's about to collapse, you know you're going to one that's been there for decades, and it's going to be pretty good. Also on the list, texted in at 803-0930, star 930. Someone said Bonefish Grill. It used to be here, but they travel somewhere that still has the Bonefish Grill. We were just talking about that location earlier off the air. There's a new place in the old Bonefish Grill. Someone says Slimans has America's best corned beef sandwich on rye with mustard. Now, there's also, when you go to Cleveland, there's a mustard in Cleveland. So when I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond, my store manager was from Cleveland. And when I would go over to Cleveland, he would tell me about this Cleveland mustard I had to get. And it was pretty good. Now, when we're talking Slimans, is it that Cleveland mustard? or is it just regular yellow mustard that you and I know and love? Another text on the, another Buc-ee's text. The texter says, I could talk all day about Buc-ee's, a must stop all day, every day. That's the text. But for local ones, anytime in Canada, A&W got to stop for burgers, fries, and chilled root beer mug. Breakfast sandwiches are also amazing. A&W, they say they don't know why, but the Canadian ones are better than the U.S. A&Ws. So that I'll take your word for it. A&W on the list as well. No, another vote for Logan's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's a Logan's. And here we go. Cleveland Stadium mustard. That's the mustard I was talking about. Let's go to Brian in Grimsby. Brian, what's the place? Where's the place you like to stop to?
You know what? It's in 1987. We just got married a year before. We're born and raised in Hamilton, Burlington, Ontario. We didn't have the stuff you guys had. We drove to Florida with two friends, husband and wife. We stopped at all of your, like, all you can eat. Like, we never had that. No, you know, breakfast. It was insane. Like, I've never eaten more bacon in my life. My heart's probably going to stop, you know, in Bob Evans, Perkins Restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, it was the best because we didn't have it here. But the sad part is I have a lot of friends who will go to, like, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever, and they'll just go to the same restaurant we have up here. It's like going to Buffalo and going to a cheesecake factory. It's like, why would you do that? We have it here.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of them, but you know what I mean? That kind of depresses me that you would travel to another country, show your passport, and go to the same place you have. And you're right with the A&W. We have wicked root beer up here. It's frosted glasses. If you ever come up here, I've never gone to one in the States. But all I always think of is go to some place you've never been before. Go to Tennessee, Texas. Buc-ee's. I've watched videos, and I was a truck driver. I want to go to Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the most amazing experience. This is what you should do. We should all do this. Go to a place you've never been to. Don't go to the place you left 10 minutes ago. Don't go to a Tim Hortons in Buffalo because we have 800 of them, you know, within a block of my house.
That's right. Well, it's like if I go to Toronto, if I go to Toronto and I want a burger, I'll go to Harvey's, not McDonald's, because I don't have Harvey's in Buffalo.
That's right. And that's the best burger. It's flame broiled. Yeah, don't go to McDonald's. Go to something that's different.
Well, next time I'm in Toronto, I can go to Jack Astor's on Yonge Street because we don't have Jack Astor's in Buffalo anymore.
You know that place. That's hilarious. You know that there. Yeah, I think they're across Canada. I know we have about 20 of them in Ontario because when I was a exterminator, we that was our biggest customer.
Well,
yeah, go to Jack Astor's.
I know that Jack Astor's very well because back when the Sabres were good, I saw the Sabres win at the building that used to be called Air Canada Center. I was in the standing room at Air Canada Center, and after the game, the Sabres actually won. After the game, we celebrated the win at the Jack Astor's on Yonge Street. That's how I know that location.
That's it. Yonge Street, Front Street, which is right near. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I always think it's the best thing to recommend. Now, my wife is kind of conservative. And when we go into other states and provinces and countries, she goes, well, I just want to go to some place that I know. And my argument is always, why don't we go to some place we don't know?
Yeah, exactly.
And experience some local food, something that's interesting and different. And yes, we're probably going to get gonorrhea and dysentery, but it'll be fantastic.
I hope not.
I know, I hope too. I don't want to go to a Tim Hortons in Ottawa because I just left the Tim Hortons in in Grimsby, Ontario.
Right. You still
Why
have
your, I go to,
you still have your Tim Hortons cup from Grimsby. You don't want to go refill it in Ottawa.
It's not even finished. I can do a reheat.
Yeah.
I can go to a hotel and do a reheat. I don't have to, but yeah. I'm exactly the same as you. I love new experiences, and yeah, it's, but that guy who said Buc-ee's, I've watched videos. It's supposed to be the largest truck stop in the world. You can get, what do they have, like, what do they call it, beaver nuts or something?
Yeah,
like
beaver nuggets, I think it's called.
Beaver nuggets, yeah. Beaver nuts sounds a little inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's thousands of square feet. Like, I want to, I retired.
Yeah.
I'm 60. I literally want to go back, get my license, and drive a Peterbilt down to Texas. And well, Florida or wherever it is.
You don't have to go too
and
far.
I want to go
there's,
there.
There's one in Harrisonburg, Virginia, Brian. We could be there in 14 hours.
Woo-hoo!
Let's go. Let's
I'm
go.
In.
I'll do
I'm
the
in.
Show. I'll do the show from Buc-ee's tomorrow. Let's.
There we go.
Brian, thanks for the call, man. Brian in Grimsby. No, but that I feel the same way as Brian. Like if we have the place in Buffalo, I don't. If I'm in Clarksburg, West Virginia, I'm just picking random towns that I'm regularly in. Usually I don't want to go. Now, that's going to be, if my dad's listening, he'll laugh at that because we do usually go to Buffalo Wild Wings in Clarksburg because they have a bar and we usually stay there to split up the trip. But if I'm, you know, somewhere else, yeah, I don't want to get what I can get here. Someone, Brian mentioned Perkins. Now, we haven't had Perkins in Western New York forever. There's a Perkins somewhere down the 79 in a town. Like, that to me, yeah, I want to go. To a Perkins. Another place, which I absolutely love and can't believe we don't have one in Western New York, is Ruby Tuesdays. And you're going to make fun of me, I think Ruby Tuesdays is so underrated. The salad bar, when I see, and my wife can back me up on this, if I see a Ruby Tuesdays on the road, we'll stop. We were coming back from somewhere a few years ago, and I saw Ruby Tuesdays, you know, we had two separate cars and there was a Ruby Tuesdays and I said, I don't care where they go to eat lunch. We're going to Ruby Tuesdays. We're pulling over here and going to Ruby Tuesdays because we don't have one here in Western New York, right? Perkins, Ruby Tuesdays. Again, I'm not saying it's the best of the best, but it's something I can't get here. Now, someone on the text board said In-N-Out Burger. Obviously, you're in Vegas, you're in California. In-N-Out Burger is a must. And I think anyone who's had In-N-Out Burger would agree it's not overrated. Like, I think In-N-Out Burger is amazing. I think it's, and by the way, they're moving their headquarters, I think, to Tennessee. So we might see them start to expand a little bit. But that is definitely, for me, if I'm somewhere with an In-N-Out Burger, or if I'm 25 miles from an In-N-Out Burger, I will definitely make a trip to go. First time I ever went to Vegas, I was at the Vidara, it's behind the Bellagio on the Strip, and we could see the In-N-Out Burger. I don't think it's there anymore, but there was an In-N-Out Burger off the Strip in view distance from our hotel room. And I said, while we're here, I'm walking to that In-N-Out Burger. And we did. And then I ate so much at In-N-Out Burger, we took a cab back. But still, like, that is on the list. White Castle, for sure. For sure, if you're going through Ohio, there's a few In-N-Out White Castles. And again, some people might say, but it's one of those things we don't have here. And you hear so much about White Castle. You gotta try it. You gotta have it at least once. But yeah, that's another one on the list. I would say Bojangles. I gotta go back to Bojangles. Someone put on the text board Bojangles again. 100%. I think Bojangles is probably the best of the chicken places in this fast food chicken phenomenon that we have in the United States of America. Bojangles, it's underrated, and it's only in the South, and it's absolutely delicious. Yeah, that is a must when I'm in a town that has a Bojangles. Like I said, John Anthony were here. He would say if there was an amusement park at the exit, right? Like, I'm sure he passes King's Dominion and he just puts the brakes on the trip for the day and goes to King's Dominion. Whataburger. They add a 10 to 15 item breakfast menu starting late night. Whataburger, I've heard so much about, I've never been. However, when we talk about Joe Beamer bucket lists, Whataburger is in the Bass Pro Shop pyramid. So when I go and make my trip to the Bass Pro Shop pyramid in Memphis, and I told my wife, we gotta remove some trips in the next few years. We gotta make room for the Bass Pro Shop pyramid. I wanna stay in the hotel at the Bass Pro Shop pyramid, and I wanna go to Whataburger in the pyramid that I'll be staying at. And there's a very nice hotel at the top floor of the pyramid. So yeah, that's a bucket list item for me. And another vote for Waffle House, like I said, definitely. And the older looking the Waffle House, again, the Waffle House, it's like Hardee's. If the Waffle House or Hardee's looks like it's about to crumble, you know you're going to a good one. I'll go into a new Hardee's or a new Waffle House, but if it looks like it's about to crumble and it's been sitting there for decades, that is the Waffle House. I want to go in, put $5 on the Touch Tunes, and get some grub. Thank you, guys. I literally pulled this topic out of my you-know-what when Tanner and I were talking in the control room, and it was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Tom Bowerly is coming up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't touch that dial. He'll be on after the news.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.